I'm Jacob Kaufman with KUAR News. I'm joined by UA Law Professor and State Representative Ann Clemmer and Republican 2nd Congressional District hopeful. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Most pundits and economists agree the economy is slowly but regularly growing. A study this month from the London School of Economics shows that since the 1960s, the richest 1,000th of a percent of U.S. households has doubled their share of national wealth from 10 to 20%. Is this increasing concentration of wealth to a few a problem or a sign of a healthy economy?
Well, we don't want a lot of government interference in the economy. So if the wealthiest are becoming wealthy without government aid, then I don't see that much of a problem. But if our policies are so skewed as to either exempt them from maybe a due share of taxes to the expense of middle class, I don't think you penalize success, right? But we clearly don't want to be subsidizing the top. We don't want subsidies that create preferred classes of people in this country.
And is it a problem to you or something you try to address through legislation, the fact that even though that profits are rising for some businesses, clearly not for all, that share doesn't seem to be going down to most of the workers?
Well, the reason businesses make profit is because they have everything on the line. They're the ones risking everything. You know, the people that I know that have businesses, you know, they have their homes on the line. They have everything on the line. So if something goes bad, I mean, they deserve risk. You know, people who take risks deserve to be rewarded for that risk. I mean, they again, have property, and the workers have the investment of time.
Many Arkansans are noticing an influx of out-of-state money and campaign ads not coming directly from campaigns. How would you address this growing discontent with campaign finance laws?
It seems that the campaign finance laws have really just been the formula for people to find loopholes. You know, when you stop allowing corporate gifts, then PACs are formed so that the corporations can form a PAC so that the PAC can give money. So a lot of people believe, and I might be in one of those camps, that you just have full disclosure and that you take away some of the laws that are becoming almost like tax law, very complicated.
The oil spill in Mayflower has some Arkansans reassessing their views of safety practices in that particular industry. Would you pursue regulations moving pipelines away from sensitive areas like watersheds?
I would want to study that issue before I issued a lot of proclamations. I mean, we obviously have to have energy. We have to have a way of transporting resources through the country. But clearly, we want to be protective of our water sources. I mean, that's what we depend on. We have to have clean water.
There are seemingly endless hot spots and trouble areas internationally the U.S. wants to help shape in some form or fashion, at least. What are your thoughts on the crisis in Ukraine? And do you have any thoughts on when using force is a sound strategy abroad?
First of all, I think one of the reasons we're having a problem in Ukraine is because President Obama has pursued more of a kumbaya foreign policy as opposed to presenting a very strong U.S. presence. I understand his philosophy, but it has not been one that has caused Vladimir Putin to be afraid of what we might do. So I think that we've got to reassert our strength in the world, our willingness to stand by our allies, and as far as using force, I mean, I know that our military is already spread very thin. I have a daughter wearing the uniform of the United States Air Force right now, but she didn't sign on the line not to participate if our nation needs her, and she, like most veterans and military servicemen that I know, are ready to be deployed in our nation's defense if it is necessary.
The Obama administration has continued his predecessor's use of drones in countries we're not at war with and don't have troops in. Some argue their use, while is helpful in killing dangerous extremists, but at the same time might end up causing more harm than good by creating more anti-U.S. sentiment among non-actors in these conflicts. As a congresswoman, how would you want the drone program to be used?
Anytime you're using military tools, whether it's our troops or our equipment, you want to be careful in how they're being used. Using a drone is probably preferable to manned aircraft, but again, we want to be very cautious in in anything that we would do that would cause a situation to be inflamed further.
And what are your thoughts on the NSA's collection of at least some telephone and email data from nearly every American? Would you keep in place the current domestic surveillance practices?
Again, I'm still a candidate, and I know that when you get elected, you have access to more, you have a higher security clearance. I would want to study that. Obviously, random American citizens don't need to be surveilled. People who are potential threats perhaps need to be. I want to make sure that Congress is using adequate oversight in making sure that our civil liberties are protected.
Immigration legislation is largely stalled in Congress. What is your plan for addressing the continued influx of immigrants, as well as those who are currently here, especially those in school or working?
Well, I think before we start looking at solutions for the people that are here, we have to stop the influx of, we have to control our borders. So we have to stop the influx of more illegal immigrants. Our nation, you know, we are a nation of immigrants, and we're a proud nation of immigrants, but we are supposed to have legal immigration, and one of the fundamental jobs of any government is to control and protect their borders. And so with that in mind, I think we just have to get control of the borders, and then we can start to look at what we do with the immigrants that are already here. If we don't, then we're creating, if we create benefits to people here, we're creating more incentive to encourage more to come over illegally. So I think before we can really address these, we have to get control of our borders.
And there's a wide consensus that Congress is unable to act on what many perceive as even simple issues. Tell us about your leadership style. Are tactics like shutdowns and filibustering without having to actually speak, are those ideas you support?
Well, as a government teacher, we talk about all these techniques, and sometimes you criticize and you say, well, this shouldn't be, or that, you know, in the textbooks. But what you realize is that you can't take things off the table. It's kind of like saying no one likes war, but you can't have effective diplomacy, perhaps sometimes unless there's a threat of something greater. So while no one wants to see a government shutdown, I don't think you take that off the table, because that may be the only thing that brings the other side to a compromise.
I have to touch on the Affordable Care Act. I know you've been heavily involved and talked about with one particular aspect of it, the Medicaid expansion in state government. My understanding is you want to repeal Affordable Care Act. What would you replace that with?
Well, we should have created some more conservative reforms before we did this massive overhaul of healthcare. And some of those reforms should have been the buying and selling of insurance across state lines. It should have allowed for small businesses to join into associations with others engaged in their same type of business, or either just small businesses based on size, so that they could get a better group rate or insurance. So we have not allowed those things in this country, and those seem like common sense solutions. And what we should have done is to try those things first and see if that didn't alleviate some of the problem.
With those particular reforms in mind, one that still stands out is the Medicaid expansion. Do you think that those reforms would make insurance cheap enough for those people from 100 to 140% of the poverty line to then be able to purchase insurance?
Well, I just think they should have been. You'd have to see what kind of impact they had on rates. One thing we do know is that Obamacare has caused the rates to skyrocket on everyone. So we've got a situation where there are a lot of people in our country that are middle income, and it's taking their income to buy health insurance. And so in that regard, and we've seen people lose their insurance, I mean, this has not been an improvement for many Americans.
One thing you've been a particularly vocal champion of in the state legislature, and most recently I saw you at the 12-week abortion ban meeting talking about Judge Wright's ruling. Talk a little bit about that and your views on that issue.
Well, I just believe that it is the job of our government to protect life. And you ask about leadership style. You know, we didn't ask for a 100% ban on abortion, which might be where my heart is, but when you're a leader in government, you look at what's achievable. And state law, when that bill passed, said that a baby in 12 weeks of development is a person under Arkansas law. So my approach then was to say, well, then since we have said that as a person, why don't we stop abortions at the time at which that baby becomes a person under Arkansas law? So, you know, while you look at what you'd like to have and then you look at what's achievable. And part of the thing with abortion is that we know that our country has to evolve on that issue. Arkansas citizens are way ahead of where the government is because they are much more pro-life than our government policies. And so I think that that bill reflected the views and values of Arkansans.
Well, I've been speaking with Ann Clemmer, who faces French Hill and Colonel Conrad Reynolds in the 2nd Congressional Republican primary. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Jacob.
I'm Jacob Kaufman, KUAR News.